نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم وما بعد. All praise be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has created us amongst the best of creation. All praise be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has created us in the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. All praise be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has blessed us with the wealth of Iman. May Allah keep us in this world with Iman. May Allah take us from this world with Iman. And may Allah raise us on the day of Qiyamah with Iman. My dear respected elders and brothers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent us in this world to prepare for the akhirat. Nobody came in this world to live here forever. Everyone that has come in this world, who came before us, who are here, and all those that are going to come after us, all will have to leave this world and we have to go towards the akhirat. That is our final destination. So for this Allah ta'ala sent us in this world to prepare for the akhirat. Allah Ta'ala, my dear brothers, sent us in this world to test us. In Alim Arwah, we were asked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's only the souls and nothing else there. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked the souls, Alastu bi Rabbikum, that who is your Rabb? Who is the one that has created you, sustains you, nourishes you, protects you, provides for you? So my dear brothers, all the souls at one time said, قَالُوا بَلَىٰ, surely, O Allah, you are our Rabb. So Allah Ta'ala sent us in this world to test us, to see, my dear brothers, how true we were to these words, that whether, my dear brothers, we really believe and have yaqeen that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is our Rabb. So when we came in this world, my dear brothers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He now put in front of us the other creation. In Alim Arwah, there was no other creation. Now we came in this world, the other creation was there. And my dear brothers, we started seeing that the creation is producing things. The creation is benefiting and harming outwardly. So slowly, slowly a person's yaqeen moves from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala towards the creation. And my dear brothers, he forgets Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, my dear brothers, sent Anbiya alayhi salatu salam in this world to, my dear brothers, guide us, to remind us that don't forget why you came in this world and who is your Rabb. The creation cannot do. The makhluk cannot do. The makhluk has got no power, no strength, no ability to do anything. The creation is dead. The creation is useless. It only can benefit and harm. It only can do things if Allah Ta'ala wills it. If Allah does not will, the creation cannot help you. So Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam came and gave this da'wat. And those who accepted this da'wat and recognized Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and pleased Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and left this world, they became successful. And those, my dear brothers, who did not do this, who did not accept the da'wat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, my dear brothers, destroyed them. See? And the Quran is full of the qissas of Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, how the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam came and gave da'wat. Nabi Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam gave da'wat, only da'wat for 950 years. Layla wa nahara, day and night, calling the people towards the one Allah. They were worshipping idols, the people. Explained to them that his idols cannot do anything. They cannot benefit and harm. They are useless. Worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They could not understand this. They persecuted Nuh alayhi salam. But he continued giving da'wat 950 years. Ulama ikram say approximately 80 plus minus 80 people accepted Islam, the rest of them rejected him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, my dear brothers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, punished them, my dear brothers, where there was no water, Allah Ta'ala asked Nuh alayhi salatu salam to build a ship. And all those who had accepted got onto the ship. Any person at that time, even us too, if we looked at that and what he was doing, would have said, what? Nuh alayhi salam, gee, what's he doing? In a place where there is no water, he is building a ship. But this is the qudrat of Allah. Allah Ta'ala does that. What we think is impossible, Allah makes it possible. And Allah Ta'ala sent down the rains, my dear brothers, so much of rain that the entire world got filled with water. And Nuh alayhi salatu salam and his people were saved. And those who rejected Nuh alayhi salatu salam, they got destroyed. So my dear brothers, Anbiya alayhi salatu salam came to the people who linked themselves to makhluk and reminded them and gave them dawat that the makhluk, the creation, cannot do. That your strength and your power cannot do also. That your wealth cannot do, your businesses cannot do. Your farms cannot do. Your leaders cannot do. Your wealth cannot do. Gave them this doubt. And today, my dear brothers, all these things are in present in front of us also. Some people are thinking that they are more powerful and the power can do. Some people got wealth and they feel that the wealth can do. And some people, my dear brothers, got farms and businesses and they think their farms and businesses are doing. Some people think it's the intelligence that is doing. That's why, my dear brothers, it is necessary for us to give dawat also. To negate all these things. La ilaha. To negate all this. That all these things have got no strength, no ability to do. It's useless. Illallah, only Allah does. Only Allah does. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came and he gave the same dawat to Sahaba Ikram. And those who accepted, Allah made them successful. And those who rejected, Allah destroyed them. Not in this world also, but also in the akhirah forever and ever. Forever and ever. The destination where we're going to, my dear brothers, the way, that is the akhirat, Allah Ta'ala is not going to judge with what you had in this world. The wealth, the power, the strength, the ability, all these things that we had in this world, Allah is not going to judge a person accordingly. But Allah is going to judge in what's in our heart. Iman is in the heart. The correct Iman is in the heart. Then, my dear brothers, a person will be successful on that day. So in the Quran, my dear brothers, something to this effect. The Allah Ta'ala, describes two group of women. The wife of Nuh alayhi salam and the wife of Lut alayhi salam. Who they were connected to, my dear brothers? Anbiya alayhi salam. They were connected to Anbiya alayhi salatu salam. But they did not bring Iman. Allah is going to send them into Jahannam. On the other hand, Asiya, the wife of Firaun. She was the wife of Firaun. The worst person. Person who claimed to be Allah. But my dear brothers, because she brought Iman, she'll go into Jannat. She'll go into Jannat. So even not, it's not about who you connected to in this world. It's not about who you connected to in this world. It's about who, my dear brothers, are you linked to? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All efforts of Dawud and Tabligh is this. To get ourselves connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. See? That's why it's very, very necessary, my dear brothers. Every day we give dawat. Every day we speak about Allah. From person to person, then we give this dawat. That Allah is our creator. Allah is our sustainer. Allah is our nourisher. Allah is our provider. Allah does everything. Allah is independent. We are totally in need of Allah. See? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees everything. Allah knows everything. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can do with means, without means, against means. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not in need of us. He is not in need of anything. Allah ta'ala created the sun, and the heat in the sun, Allah created that too. The sun is in need of Allah to create heat. But Allah is not in need of the sun to create heat. Allah created water, and Allah has created the quality of quenching thirst in the water. Allah has created, the water is in need of Allah to quench the thirst of people. But Allah is not in need of the water to quench thirst. Says before Maut, a person will be so thirsty, all the water will be given to him. But still, thirst won't be quenched. See? So my dear brothers, Allah has, the qualities that are in the things also, Allah has created it. See? And Allah is not in need of those things that Allah created for those qualities also. See? Allah can change them. Like he said, my dear brothers, the Bani Israel disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah kept the quality of human beings in them, but he made them into monkeys. He changed them. On the other hand, for Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam, Allah ta'ala left the fire as it is, but he changed the quality. He made it cool and calm for Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam. This is the power of Allah. Allah is not in need, not in mortaj of anything. Allah is not. This yaqeen, this conviction has to enter our heart. When this yaqeen will enter our heart, my dear brothers, then to follow Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will become very easy. Then from head to toe we'll bring every sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Once we recognize Allah, when the yaqeen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enters in the heart, then we'll have my full yaqeen that my way of success is only in the way of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If I follow any other way, I'll be a failure. In whatever I do, wherever I am, I have to follow in the way of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That is the way that Allah chose for us. Allah chose the way of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sahabi is sitting in the palace of in the palace with see others, and they were eating food, and the food falls down. See, it's like how we probably sitting in a restaurant or sitting in one. We went for an walima. See, and others are sitting there too, so the food falls down. He picks it up and cleans it and he eats it. So the person next to him nudges him and says, "What are you doing? You should not be doing this in this place like this. Yeah, you shouldn't be doing like this." So what he replies, "Should I sacrifice the sunnah of my beloved for these fools? Should I sacrifice the sunnah of my beloved for these fools?" They knew, my dear brothers, even at that time too, we have to continue following the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In Tamm al-Ghafilin, it's written there, my dear brothers, that once Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala who came into the house and he asked his slave that he kept one piece of bread. Yeah. What happened to that piece of bread? He said, "I ate it." So he told his slave, "I set you free. I cannot keep a slave who Allah has forgiven." Because I've heard from Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam something to this effect, that the one who picks up something from the floor and cleans it and eats it, Allah forgives his sins. Gee? So Sahaba Ikram knew the value of one sunnah. We might think it is very small, But they knew what rewards they're going to get for it. And they practice on the sunnah. That the greatest reward is that they will become close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The only way to reach Allah, my dear brothers, there's no other way. It's through the sunnah of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمْ اللَّهَ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ. Allah is saying, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, say that if you say you love Allah, if you claim to you love Allah, then follow Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. فَاتَّبِعُونِي, follow me, follow Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then Allah will love you and Allah will forgive your sins. The way for the forgiveness of our sins and to become the beloved of Allah is through the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to this effect, those who will follow my sunnah love me, and those who love me will be with me in Jannah. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the one who, something to this effect, that everybody will enter into Jannah except the one who negates me. Sahaba ikram, O Nabi sallallahu, who's the one that will negate you? Said, the one who follows my sunnah, will enter Jannah, and the one who does not follow my sunnah has negated me. And every sunnah will take us close to Allah. And every sunnah we leave, we're going further away from Allah. Value one sunnah. And if you can't practice the sunnah, don't just say, oh, it is a sunnah. We leave it out. No. We say, Allah, forgive me. I haven't got the strength, I haven't got the ability to practice on the sunnah. Please forgive me for that. Don't negate it. Oh, it's just a sunnah. I can leave it out. So my dear, every sunnah of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has come into my life. And in every aspect of our life, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam showed us in every aspect of our life a way to practice it. In our ibadah too, it's not how we just make ibadah, but we make ibadah as Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam showed us to make ibadah. That is why, my dear brothers, we have to learn, go to the ulama ikram and find out how to do correctly the ibadat. To make ibadat in the way Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam showed us. Nabi sallam said something to this effect, make salah as you see me making salah. As you see me making salah. To go to the ulama ikram and learn. And to my dear brothers, the ibadat has been done with concentration, with devotion, with sincerity. Then my dear brothers, this ibadat will be accepted by Allah. Once Mawlana Umar Panipuri rahmatullah is mentioning that how when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said something to this effect, that a person who does not perform his salah correctly, then that salah will be thrown back like a dirty rag on his face. He said, not only for salah, but all ibadat. All our ibadat. If it's not done correctly, then this ibadat will be thrown back on our face like a dirty rag. That is why it's necessary that we go and learn. Go to the ulama ikram. Don't feel shy. Our great muhaddiseen, mufassireen, sahaba ikram, for one hadith, they should travel, my dear brothers, distances to go and learn. One Sahabi traveled all the way from Medina Munawwara to Baghdad to learn one hadith. Because that Sahabi who knew the hadith there heard it from Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One Sahabi went from Medina Munawwara all the way to Egypt. And when he got to Egypt, he called out that Sahabi's name. So the Sahabi was upstairs on the second floor. So he said, wait, I'm coming down. He said, no, don't come down. Don't come down. We don't know who will be living by the time you come down, whether I'll be living or you will be living. So give me the hadith from the top. One hadith. Today Allah forgive. First, my dear ones, the ta'aleem is taking place in the masjid. The words of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is being read. We're walking away. while Sahaba sacrificed so much to gain this knowledge and preserve it for us. Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala nu, to get this knowledge of deen, he should go and sit at the doors of the Sahaba ikram, wait till they were free, and then find out about it. The sacrifices he made. Person leaves his home to come to the masjid with the intention of learning something. Allah gives him the reward as if Allah will give him the reward of a maqbool hajj, for an accepted hajj. Person goes out to seek the knowledge of deen, that the malaika spread their wings underneath his feet, that they are so honored. Person who goes out to seek the knowledge of deen, the birds, the fish, the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make dua and maghfirat for that person. So much of Allah gives for that person who makes sacrifice for the knowledge of deen. This is not only acquiring the knowledge of deen, but my dear friends, together with that, to remember Allah in whatever good deeds we're doing. So I'll just say, ilam and zikr have been put together in the six qualities. You acquire the knowledge of deen and you practice it. And together with that, while practicing those, whatever you learned, that you remember Allah in practicing. So I'll just tell us, my dear brothers, a person comes to the masjid. Great amal he did, he came to the masjid. But many a time he leaves the masjid as the enemy of Allah. He leaves us the enemy of Allah. Why? In the masjid he did not make the zikr of Allah. In the masjid he spoke about dunya in the masjid. So when he speaks about dunya, the malaika come and make an announcement, "Oh friend of Allah, keep quiet." Second time, "Oh friend of Allah, keep quiet." Oh third time, "Oh friend of Allah, keep quiet." And the fourth time he's been told, "Oh enemy of Allah, keep quiet." He came as a friend of Allah to the masjid, but because he did not remember Allah in the masjid, and he spoke about dunya in the masjid, then my dear, he leaves the masjid as an enemy of Allah. To remember Allah at all occasions, I tell the youngsters, we don't claim to be men. Oh, we are men, that's why we're doing these things. That's why we're doing this. Oh, because we are men. Who Allah calls men? Allah Ta'ala calls men those people who remember Allah in their businesses. Those who remember Allah in their businesses. So to remember Allah, my friends. So how much more in the ibadat that we are making? In the ibadat that we are making, that salah we're making, that fasting we're doing, how much more we should be remembering Allah? Today, my dear brothers, we start salah, and where our minds goes to? The Mawlana Yusuf Rahmatullah Ali should say, a person should at least minimum remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala 3 times in every rukun, every action of salah. In qiyam 3 times, in ruku 3 times, in sajda 3 times. To remember Allah minimum 3 times. Somebody asked Mawlana Yusuf Rahmatullah Ali, "Moli sahab, how come before salah I don't think of anything? But the moment I start my salah, I think of everything. So Mawlana wrote back to this person and said, "Before salah, you are like in a dark room. You can't see anything. The moment you start salah, it's like you have switched on the light. Now you can see what's in the room. If you think of your wife is in your heart. If you think of your business is in your heart. If you think of your sports is in your heart. If you think of your children in the heart. And if you think of Allah, then Allah is in your heart." See? That Allah is in your heart. So every day, 5 times a day, we know what is in our heart. That's why it is said we should come for salah, not rush and come for salah. When you stir the tea, and you take out the spoon, What happens? He still moves, isn't it? Now, can you imagine a man is coming from his dunya, or he's coming from some activity he's doing, rushing to the masjid and he's going to read salah. Can you think of Allah in his salah, my dears? Can you think of Allah in his salah? Therefore, you have to come early for salah, make wuzu, sit down, make the zikr of Allah. And then, my dear brothers, when the azan goes, complete our sunnats, then stand up for faraz and with concentration and devotion, we make salah. That my Allah is seeing me, my Allah is listening to me, that my Allah is with me. That in front of us. Then that salah will become salah, my dear. Then to take from Allah will become easy. Sometimes I tell the youngsters, the way you all concentrate on the cell phone, if you only concentrate like that in salah, and then you'll get from Allah. Sometimes a person is so busy in that cell phone, Muhammad can't hear us. People went past him, you didn't see that person going, but no, I didn't see. So much is concentrating on that cell phone. Can you imagine we concentrate like that in salah? And what you'll get? With concentration. And my dear brothers, when our ibadat is correct, then our life outside ibadat, outside salah will be correct also. Then my dear brothers will not deprive anybody of their haqq, of their right. Because our salah is not correct, today a person leaves the masjid, sometimes not even outside the masjid, in the masjid, he's already making ghibat of somebody. He's already making ghibat of somebody. Backbiting. So the person, if his salah is correct, then my dear brothers, Allah will save him from lewdness and iniquity. Allah will save him from sin. And especially, my dear brothers, fulfilling the haqq of others, the rights of other people. If starting from our parents, then our wives, our children, our relatives, our neighbors. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, so many warnings came regarding the neighbors, and so many hukams came regarding taking care of neighbors. I thought, my dear, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, that Allah might eventually say, include them in our will, in our inheritance. One great buzruk, my dear brothers, his friend came to visit him. So he gave some fruit for them to eat. So they left the dirt of the fruit, the peels of the fruit and the seeds of the fruit, he wanted to go and throw it. So the sons of the friend told him, no, we'll go throw it for you. He said, where are you going to throw it? He said, no, outside in the yard. He said, no. He says, why? He said, no, I don't want it to be thrown outside here. Go the distance and go and throw it so that my neighbor's children don't see the fruit, the peels and the dirt. So that, I did not have enough to give my neighbors so that and their children feel for that thing also. So much they should take care of the neighbors that they should not hurt their feelings in any way. The rights of neighbors, the rights of my dear brothers, our staff, the rights of our employers. Don't worry. People who, my dear brothers, we're doing financial dealings with, their rights. And when arriving in Pakistan, we heard one of the elders was mentioning a person who owes another person a little bit of money, very little also. That time he was saying, I don't know how much of the rupee, less than a 1 rupee too, he mentioned. He said, my dear brothers, you have to give 70 accepted salah to that person on the day of Qiyam. How much? 70 accepted salah. And we take it so lightly. We take it so lightly. Owing somebody money. The pious people, the Sahaba Ikram, they became restless in this matter. When they were owing people money. that they must not die before they pay that person. So our financial dealings correctly. So my dear, is fulfilling the haqq of everybody. And everything we do it only for the pleasure of Allah, my dear. Do a small amal, do it only for the pleasure of Allah. So our elders tell us, how you get this quality? That after every amal, ask yourself this question, why? Mona Ibrahim Sahib says, ask yourself this question, why? Why did I do this? For what reason did I do this? And for who I did this? And my Jews, after every amal, make istighfar and tawbah. See? Hayatul Sahaba, if you read, my dear brothers, in the section of fear of Allah, Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala ajma'een feared Allah after doing good deeds. Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala ajma'een should hide their good deeds like how we'll hide our sins. That the sins, the good deeds must not be exposed. Do everything only for the pleasure of Allah. That's why I will say, sir, start in this way, start doing some amal where nobody knows about it. Only Allah knows. For example, my dear brothers, you become regular with making dua before entering toilet and leaving the toilet, you read the duas. Nobody knows. Only you and Allah know it, but you read the dua. But do it with istiqamat. Slowly, slowly, my dear brothers, the quality of ikhlas will come. Before eating and after eating, read the du'as. Nobody knows you read the du'a. But when slowly, slowly, ikhlas will come. Start with the small things. Allah will then give you the tawfiq of doing, my dear brothers, when you're doing the big amal, Allah will give ikhlas in that also. And my dear brothers, this, to practice upon deen, this is our uniform. This is our uniform. When we practice deen, we are recognized as a Muslim. Now, this is a Muslim. But what is our duty? What is our responsibility? A policeman is wearing his uniform, but he's seeing somebody committing crime and he does not stop that person. What will happen? The same government that is paying him, that government now will fine him, will charge him. That nurse, wearing his uniform, he sees somebody injured and hurt and he does not help that person. He'll be charged for not helping that person. My dear respected and brothers, practicing upon deen, this is our uniform, to be recognized as a Muslim. But what's our duty? What's our responsibility? This ummah has got the responsibility of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. To do the effort of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to invite towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, my dear. Say, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, hazihi sabili, that this is my way, ad'u ila Allah, to invite towards Allah, ala basira, with conviction, ana wa man ittaba'ani, this is my way and the way of those people who follow. This is our responsibility. We'll be asked about it. We'll be questioned about fulfilling our responsibility. That is why, my dear, effort of deen is not something, my dear, if you like to do it, you do it, and if you don't like to do it, we leave it, no problem. No, it's a responsibility for every ummati. Our job is to make the effort. Hidayat is in the hands of Allah, but Allah is going to ask us about the effort we made. This life and this wealth that Allah has given us has been purchased by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in exchange for Jannah. And this life and wealth has to be utilized for the upliftment of deen in the world. We have to make qurbani and sacrifice, and take this deen to the different parts of the world. People are waiting, people are thirsty, waiting, my dear brothers, for somebody to come and remind them. Somebody to come and invite them. So alhamdulillah, my dear brothers, the effort is taking place. We all make niyat, inshallah, that how we can join the effort. One is we go far out. One is in our locality, the effort is taking place. You don't need any money for that. Just a little bit of time. And not your busy time. your free time. That time, my dear brothers, that way we're not doing anything regarding dunya too. That time we have to do those amals in our masjid. The gasht in our masjid, the ta'lim in our masjid, the giving daily time in the masjid, it's our free time. Give that time to the masjid. If we start giving our free time into the masjid, Allah will accept our busy time for the masjid. Inshallah, my dear brothers. Allah give us all tawfiq. Inshallah, after Maghrib there will be program. And inshallah, till Ishraq tomorrow, the program will continue, inshallah. Subhanallah, bihamdihi, subhanallah.